I'd like to invite the children to come join me down front. Margaret, you gonna come? Come on, Noah and Stephen, you wanna come down? Like old times?
Can I come down here?
Sure, you did the children's message last week, right? So what happened? What did you say to him?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Good morning. What's your name?
Odin.
Nice to meet you. I'm Miss Pam. So, who do y'all like to build with Legos? Do you like to, Margaret? Yeah, do you? Yeah, Legos are so much fun, aren't they? I love to build with Legos because they come in all different sizes and colors and shapes. And, you know, you can have pieces that will make the corner. You can even have pieces that have, like, little windows. And I made, like, a little bridge or doors. You can do all kinds of things with Legos, right? So it's a lot of fun. So at your house, do you have Legos at your house? Oh, the tiny ones, yeah. Yeah, those are really cool. You have three different Lego sets?
I have three. I have one basket and two little hats. And I have a lot of sets that I already put together.
You do. And I bet you don't just have all yellow, do you? I bet you have all colors, right? You don't have just one color or one size in your Lego box, right? They come in different sizes and shapes. Well, I'm going to tell you a little. Oh, yeah, they make certain objects. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That is really cool. Well, today in our Bible story that we hear about Paul writes a letter, and he's talking to some people in a place called Ephesus, and they were wondering what kind of people could God use in the family of Christ? So Paul tells them that God loves and needs everyone, and every person, no matter what your size, what your shape, what your color is, everybody is needed to build the family of Christ, right? And so when we build upon each other, we build each other up. We just need each other. We build each other up, right? So we work together and we build the family of God so that we can learn and love and teach other people about God too, right? So, do you know who our foundation is? Like, I have a good foundation on the bottom of this to keep my structure from falling down. Who is our foundation? Yeah?
God.
Yes. Yes, it's God and Jesus is our foundation that keeps us just together and just right. It keeps us solid. So just like this base is solid to keep our structure from falling over, well, our base is Jesus. And when we lean on Jesus and his love, then we can share his love with everyone, right? And that's the good news. Isn't that wonderful news? Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus in our lives. Help us to work together to build a strong family of people who love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So you all.
Now that's how you do a children's message. Now that's a great building right there. That's the title of the sermon, and it is also, that's a very nice Lego building that you have built there, Pam. There's some neat buildings around. Have you ever gone into the PNC Center or the RBC Center, whatever it's called this week? You know, that great big sports stadium? And you're just like, wow! And you look up and it just goes forever, and the little players, when you get the seats that I get, are just like teeny tiny little ones. down there and you need binoculars to see them. That's a great, great building. Or have you ever been in that, in Duke Chapel, in that little church on Duke's campus? It's really tall and you walk in with the big vaulted ceilings and there's huge organ pipes in there. Have you ever heard them play the organ in there? I mean, it just shakes. Your very core is just shook when you listen to that as you just go, wow. In this place, when I came to Roxborough and brought my kids up one weekend, we peeked in the sanctuary for the first time. We were all impressed by the beauty here, the intricate grid and column and supports of the ceiling that just makes you go, wow, that's so cool. And the organ pipes and the beautiful stained glass, the history of special people and families going back more than a century, imprinted on the windows around us, and it's beautiful. The places in this church that you can play hide and go seek, unparalleled in the whole conference of North Carolina, I think. Anyone ever played hide and go seek in these closets? Come on. It's great. I see a lot. That's big fun right there. So what I want you to do, I'm going to close my eyes and count to 10, and I want you to all... I know if I did that, if I would have said that at the early service, they'd have done it. And it's all dedicated to God. And it reminds me of this story in Luke 21. Some of the disciples in Jerusalem were remarking about the temple and how it was adorned with beautiful, huge stones. And it was just dedicated. These gifts were dedicated to God. And they're like, whoa, preacher, Jesus, look, Rabbi, look at the stained glass. They didn't have stained glass back then. But you know, it's the same kind of thing. They're just like, wow. And remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Well, there's a buzzkill right there. I mean, that's just really take the wind out of their sails, don't you think? If someone comes in, don't they do tours here, like in the city and whatnot? Someone comes in and maybe you act as a docent and they say, wow, this is a beautiful place. And you say, don't worry, soon at some time, all of this will be knocked down. The stained glass will be in shards and rubble, the lights, you know, that's shocking. And it was just as shocking to hear Jesus say it as it would be to hear that. I'm not proposing that, but it seems, well, Paul was talking about buildings. Did you hear that as Ralph was reading it? That we are being built together on a solid foundation with Christ as a cornerstone into the very temple of God. And Jesus isn't talking about bricks and mortar and pretty stained glass windows. Jesus is talking about people. So if Jesus is talking about people and the church as people, then maybe I should too, and not talk about great buildings. A few years ago, the Triangle YMCA was doing a campaign. I don't know if it was a capital campaign or a fundraiser or a program drive, but it was called We Build People, which I thought, that's really cool. And I think that is something of what Paul is talking about here. Paul has laid out a sermon teaching in which he first talks to the Gentiles in Ephesus. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but most of us, from what I understand, most of us are not Jewish in descent. And if you're not Jewish to a Jew, what does that make you? A Gentile. Those of you that have studied, there's sort of two groups of people in the Bible. There's Jewish and then there's not Jewish. And the not Jewish is Gentile. Right? And so all of us, we are Gentiles, those of us that aren't Jewish, and much respect. If there's someone here who's Jewish, we'd love that you're here, and so welcome. But there's a distinction that Paul is making, and Paul reminds the Gentiles, which is us, in Ephesus, reminds them how they were once far away from God, cut off from the promise because they weren't descended from Abraham. They didn't follow Jewish practices. So if you believe that the chosen people are the Jews and those are God's people, it had been for millennia, not just centuries, but millennia, then if you're not Jewish, you're sort of outside the promise. And in Christ, we're brought close. But we got brought close because of what God first did. We remember in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And in Ephesians 2, it says, "Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth," just to make sure you're listening, is that us? That's us. "Remember that at that time we were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in the people of God, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Well, that'd be a great way to follow up on the tour that comes to the sanctuary as they come here and you say, "Oh, don't worry, this place will just be rubble someday." And then after that, you say, "Hey, are you a Gentile?" And then they say, "Well, I guess." And then you say, "Yeah, you are without hope in the world, far off." But then you'd have to be true to the gospel. And you'd have to say, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier." Destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. God has destroyed it. His purpose, God's purpose, was to make one new humanity out of what was two separate humanities, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. Beloved, how I wish those words, perhaps more than any other words in all of Scripture, would fill not only just our ears but our minds and seep into every crack and crevice of our souls and our understanding and invade every act and thought, not just when we come to worship or meet in Sunday school or attend a committee meeting, but when we walk into the grocery store, when we drive through East Durham, when we have to go to the courthouse or fill up with gas, if we would remember that God has created in God's people one new humanity and has destroyed the barriers between us. Oh, if we could only die to ourselves and live to this good word, what a great building that would be. But we've still got work to do. In youth group at former churches, we've had this practice. I don't know, Pam, you probably do it, but you kind of circle up at the end of youth group and have a prayer. Do you do that? Do you do the thing where you cross your arms? Yeah, we did the same thing. And so, you know what is great is seeing a bunch of 6th to 10th graders, let's say, being told that they have to hold hands with one another, right? That's just wonderful. What a wonderful experience. There's usually two extremes that jump out. One is, "Heck no, I'm not doing that. Between me and my friend here, we'll just leave space for the stranger to come in." They kind of exploit that loophole of what we try to do. "I'm not touching him," so maybe you get someone to grab a hold of the shirt, touch an elbow to one another, but holding hands, no way. Well, there's the other side of the extreme as well, where you get, especially this happens with boys, and we had a bunch of boys, where it becomes a battle of the wills and teenage strength to see who can grip and absolutely crush and break the hand of the person next to you. Is that just at my former church, or has that ever happened here? Anybody ever seen anything like that happen? So what do we have to do? Usually we have to go get an adult peacemaker to go and stand in between. And I think that's a wonderful analogy of being built together. People that used to not like each other very much certainly aren't comfortable holding hands. And Jesus becomes the cornerstone to begin with as we grow together into this temple of God. And I was thinking about that image and about groups of people who aren't very good at holding hands. And then I remembered a game that I used to play a long time ago, Red Rover. You know that game? Red Rover, send Doug right over, whoever it might be. And remember how that game works? You hold hands with one another in a line, and somebody gets up a full head of steam from the other team and tries to break through your line. I loved that game because me and my team, we had figured it out. When you try and be really strong and you hold together really rigid and really strong to another and you're not going to move, and that 150, 200 pound head of steam comes barreling through there, what's going to happen? You're either going to break your wrist or you're going to let go, right? And then the person gets to take one of you who they broke through back to their team. But we figured it out. We figured, we had a whole plan. It was like, I felt like Maximus in Gladiator. We had a whole plan for how we were going to be able to win at this. You know how you win, don't you? If someone is running towards you, you've got to give. You keep holding on, but all your energy, you sort of collapse the line on that person and gradually slow them down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine that? Right? And then they get to join you. Right? So by holding on and not letting them be able to break you apart, that person that comes over gets to join you. And I thought, well, gosh, there's a sermon in there. When we hold on tight to our community, our family, we're not going to move, we're not going to budge, we're just going to hold on tight and not let anybody through. We end up getting broken apart when someone comes at us with a whole head of steam, with new energy and new ideas. We can't, they just poof, and it breaks us apart, and then we start losing. It's been said that in the church today in America, especially mainline denominations like Methodist, that we are keeping our pews and our rigidity and our traditions at the expense of our teenagers and our generations. And that is a sad thing indeed. When someone who has been far off comes toward our line, our wonderful, close, historic, multi-generational, special, worshipful, strongly loving, Christian faith-living line, I wonder how we are greeting them. Rigidly? Or if we are willing to change where we are and sort of collapse around and figure out and match their energy so that they can become a part of our family. It's just something to think about. It's Red Rover, just a children's game. Paul spent this time in this book of Ephesians talking about how the Gentiles were far from God, lost in sin, but God's grace brought us close, not of our own accord, and now there's no division. We're all citizens in God's kingdom. We are all citizens in God's kingdom. All of us are citizens in God's kingdom. Because of Christ Jesus, we who were once at odds with one another, because of God's reconciling acts, we are now growing together in the same organic structure with Christ as the cornerstone, a living temple. Paul, in another place, talks about Jews and Greeks. Jews and Gentiles, there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Galatians 3, neither slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul spends a great deal of time trying to help people understand that they're being woven into one people, but he's not the one that came up with it. Paul didn't start this. Jesus talked about it. Remember, Jesus one day was thirsty at a well, and there was a Samaritan woman who shouldn't have been there in the middle of the day, who was treated by the Jews as a dog. And Jesus says, "Could I have a glass of water?" And they talked about this living water where they would never thirst again. The early church in Acts chapter 6, there were some widows who seemed like being neglected, and there were other widows that were being taken care of. And the church said, no, we shouldn't split off into two different groups. We should care for all. And so they appointed people who would care for all and make sure that the widows were looked after. Jesus was going from town to town doing grown-up stuff. And children wanted to come and see Jesus. And the disciples said, no. Jesus has got adult things to do. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Not long ago, within the last couple of years, the choir, 100 men in black, they sing really good. In fact, many of them under Marlon West's direction, they're meeting this afternoon for a gospel concert over at Roxborough First Baptist Church. Not Roxborough Baptist, two blocks away, but First Baptist on the other side of 15501. And I'm going to go there, and if you'd like to go, you're welcome to come with me. Give me a call or leave me a little thing, but we're going to go. Now, when they sing in that full gospel style, they repeat choruses a lot more than we repeat choruses, and sometimes they actually move around, you know, people dancing and singing and praising God that way. And there's going to be a mime ministry, which is really cool, and it's going to be unfamiliar. But Paul tells me that we're in the same building, being formed into the same temple of God. with Christ as the cornerstone. When a number of these guys, they practiced, 100 men in black, they practiced at my former church, they would form a prayer circle at the end. And I'm not in that group. I don't sing good. And so it could have been like a Red Rover game, you know? And you know what they did? They let me into their circle. And we would pray for one another. It was a beautiful thing. It was kind of like a Red Rover game. Well, that's just a game. Or is it? Maybe all we needed to know about life, we really did learn in kindergarten. And so those have become my brothers in Christ. We were at BASIC this last week, brothers and sisters in conversation, and a woman told her story of being far off, but now over time belonging as a citizen of our country and pursuing her dreams. She talked about feeling invisible, but on that night she was very visible as the keynote speaker, the one who is teaching us about how to love our neighbors. That's powerful, and we are richer for it. So we have a mission. Anyone out there like the Mission Impossible movies? Anybody like those? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, we love those, right? What does it say? Your mission, Ethan, if you choose to accept it, is to go do this and that. So, church, your mission, according to Paul in Ephesians, if you choose to accept it, is to find those who have felt cast aside, those who have felt invisible, and help them find their place in the wall, in the building of God's temple, to be on the lookout. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to grow together into this temple of God. Now, you can choose to reject this message, but if you reject this message, you are rejecting Christ's gospel. And so if you thought you were in the church, if we think we're in the church and we reject this message that we are being built together with any who would come and follow Jesus, but we don't want them in our section of the wall, well, we are rejecting the good news of Jesus Christ. And then it is we ourselves who, in trying to protect something, find ourselves as a loose stone out there away from the good things that God is building. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to seek, to ask, to knock, and to keep seeking, to keep asking, to keep knocking, to find the kingdom of God. You can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. You can't learn your way into the kingdom of God. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. You can be loved all the way into the kingdom of God. Now that's what I call a great building. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Come before God today. There are a number of persons on prayer list that have been shared with me. There's a little baby there in the congregation. We pray God's special blessing on that little baby and the whole family today, that God would continue to surround you in love. We give thanks that Sheila Michener has come home from the hospital. Olivia Higgins, Chuck's daughter, is having surgery on Tuesday of this week in Atlanta. And so our prayers are with Olivia, 17 years old. So this is no small thing. So Chuck, our prayers are with you as well and your entire family. For Jerry O'Neill, for family and victims of the tragedy on that boat in Missouri, I believe, And then Jennifer, neighbors of your family in Iowa with the tornadoes that went through, devastating. We thank God. I heard that there was no loss of life, but a lot of people picking up pieces. For the work that continues to be done here in this conference, still recovering from Hurricane Matthew and the workers who are feeling called to go. For campers, some of our youth who are leaving this week, today even, to go to Camp Don Lee and learn about God's love there, a Methodist camp out on the coast. Our prayers are with them. I bring you greetings and love from Charles Owens, whose wife Peggy is in hospice care, and Charles is in good spirits but grieving as he cares for his wife, who has been struggling with Alzheimer's for some time and is in her final days, unless God chooses to intervene in a way that God doesn't often intervene, but which is still possible. So we pray for healing and peace and God's presence there with the good people at Crowsdale and with Charles and with Peggy. We also pray, perhaps this sermon today, or more importantly, the scripture that was read from Paul's pen, if you have discovered or been awakened or realized that perhaps you have been an outlier, that you have been not a part of the wall of this building that God is raising up, we pray that what God has begun to do in your heart, God would continue to complete that good work. Let us pray. God, you are good and gracious and loving. We proclaimed in our call to worship that we are also tired and we are weary and in need of rest. God, one of the artists that you have made in recent years has said, "Oh, great God, give us rest. Have you seen this place? It's all a mess. We've done our part too well, we guess. Oh, great God, give us rest." And so this morning we pause to rest in your good and loving arms. God, we pray that you would sweep us up, lift us, fill us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be ministered to and made whole wherever we are hurting, wherever we are afraid, that you would grant us peace and courage. Wherever we feel lonely and misunderstood, you would share with us your understanding and love and acceptance, that you would surround us with people, your people, who want nothing but for us to experience your goodness and blessing, your mercy and love. God, for those who grieve, for those who have faced violence and live currently in fear, for those who have been affected by war, for relationships that have become estranged, for financial situations from which there seems to be no escape, God, we pray that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. We pray that you would use us even, for we offer ourselves into your presence, into your usefulness. Use us to play a role in the healing of the nations, in the healing of our own hearts, in the mending of our own relationships. God, be with those who are sick, whose death seems imminent, whose loved ones are fading. God, restore wholeness and grant your peace. And now, O God, hear the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.